As we continue our Epiphany journey, we continue to look for the light of the world breaking in. We continue to find the ways to follow Jesus, to follow this light into the world. And it's that following we hear about today, as Jesus calls Simon and Andrew, James and John. And yet we also know there's obstacles to our ability to follow Christ. There are things that would disrupt us from serving as we should. Sometimes we don't follow because we don't understand. It doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes we get off track because we try to make sure other people understand it the same way we do. And of course, this also happens with the issue that we don't always get the same message. We don't always follow in the same way as one another. And this can disrupt us. Sometimes we can think everybody else should follow Jesus just as we do. And sometimes we might think we're doing it wrong because what we are doing doesn't match those around us. Our readings demonstrate all these issues, maybe obliquely today, but they do demonstrate how we sometimes can have challenges. The first thing we hear from Paul about this notion of understanding is at the end of our second reading today. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who believe it is the source and power of God. And this demonstrates again how things may or may not make sense to us, and that can disrupt our ability to trust. That some people are going to look at the cross and say, I don't get it. This seems foolish. And of course it does. It doesn't make sense to us that God should take on flesh. And that if God would take on flesh, that God would choose to suffer and die. It also doesn't make sense that that suffering and death somehow impacts me. That because Jesus suffers and dies on a cross, somehow my sins are dealt with and I have life. These are things that do not make sense to us. They seem foolish unless we believe them. And if we do believe them, we probably have a hard time at times trying to communicate why we believe it to others who don't. So this can become a dividing line between believers and those who don't believe. This whole notion of what makes sense. But of course, as Paul points out to us, there are other dividing lines, not just between believers and unbelievers, but even within those who believe. That people will claim to belong to different people. And Paul's upset about this. Look, you're having factions. Of course, that means there's quarreling among you. Some of you say you belong to Apollos, some to Paul, some to Peter. But none of them is Christ. None of them were crucified for you. You shouldn't say you belong to any of these people who are just the means by which you came to place your trust in Christ. And of course, we know this issue is carried down in the church throughout the days and years. There are still times that we are more drawn to a given person and a given way that they share the message, and there are certainly times we are put off by a certain person or the way they share this message. And that we know, as Paul tells us, this leads us to quarreling. Sometimes we don't see it right away. Sometimes we think, oh yes, we know they're part of the faith and we're part of the faith and that's all equal. But if we emphasize the differences, if we think that the way a given person shared something with us is what really matters, then we're going to find ourselves likely in some contention. Indeed, even our own tradition. We know Luther himself was not a fan of the word Lutheran being used. He would say, was Luther crucified for you? Just as Paul would say, was Paul crucified for you? No. And we know well how clinging to those identities have led to disruptions, to fighting, to quarreling in the church, the body of Christ, over time. We know this has been a challenge for us. We also see these dividing lines as dividing loyalties, I think, present in our gospel reading today. You might think I'm talking about James and John's loyalty to their father and how that's put into question, or Simon and Andrew and James and John's loyalty to their craft and to their daily living. And I could raise any of those, but actually I'm thinking about John's followers when I say that. So we hear at the beginning of the gospel reading that John is arrested. And Jesus withdraws to Galilee. Jesus leaves. So as John's followers, you may wonder, what's going on here? Is Jesus really the Messiah? Why doesn't he free John? You may wonder, do we go and follow Jesus? As we heard last week, John has been saying, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is he the one I should now follow? Or do I stay here with John and support him while I'm in prison? My loyalty is called into question. I'm not sure where to go. And so there can be some division there. There can also be the possibility for division, I think, around how we hear Jesus' call come to us. I think this is possible for Simon and Andrew, James and John today. You know, in this story, we hear that the core call of what Jesus is saying remains the same. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Turn, follow me, in me, the kingdom of God is breaking forth. That is what Jesus is communicating to these fishermen as well. Follow me and recognize God's presence in your midst. And amazingly, they do. But the way they hear that call is different, it seems. There's Simon and Andrew here, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. James and John just hear from our text, follow me. Calls them to follow him, and they do. And we could imagine a scenario where that method of call might come into play as they would seek to distinguish themselves from one another. That we know from our other readings in the Gospels that there were dividing lines within the disciples too, that they asked about who was the greatest and argued about it. And you can almost hear, even here, at this moment of call, how some of those arguments could go. Simon and Andrew would say, look, he made us fishers of men. Clearly, we are the favored ones. We were the first ones to be called out of the boat. James and John's response would be, but look, we also left the boat, and we not only left our boat, our craft, but our father as well. We gave up everything right away. Clearly, our faith is greater. And such perspectives then can put us in tension with each other, could even lead to quarreling. And all this to say, how easily and subtly these dividing lines can creep back into us. How we can find ourselves emphasizing different aspects of our call to follow Christ in ways that would pit us against each other and have us forget that the main thing we are to focus on is following Christ. This, of course, is what Paul seeks to address with the Corinthians. Paul says, no, dear brothers and sisters, we are to focus on the cross. We are to know that we belong to Jesus alone. This is the proclamation I was given. And I think it's for good reason that Paul focuses on the cross. The cross is where we find the ministry of Christ unfold, the kingdom of God ushered in. It is at the cross that we see Jesus destroying the power of sin and death. It is the cross, then, that unites us all, that brings about the reconciliation between God and humanity, that draws us back into right relationship with God and with each other. And so we then are all gathered at the foot of the cross and invited to see two things simultaneously. One, our own brokenness on display, our own ways that we have put Jesus here, and how we need God to deal with our sin. And the second thing, simultaneously, we see God doing just that in Christ, that our sin is dealt with, and we are made new because of what God has done for us in Christ. And this, then, is what brings about our unity. This, then, is what overcomes our sin, our division, our brokenness. This is the same thing I think we're hearing in our reading from Isaiah. The light of God shines forth, and those who have walked and lived in darkness are now able to see it. They are able to be drawn together to that same light. They have the rod across their shoulders, the yoke, the burden of their oppression released and relieved from them. This is what we need too. Our own oppression by these forms of division, of hatred, of bitterness, must be broken. We must be set free from that which would divide us and drawn back together in God. And this, dear brothers and sisters, is what Christ is accomplishing. This is what John's followers would experience if they were to draw near to Jesus. They would see, the same message really does continue. Christ is the one that John was pointing to, who is still proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. They would see the healing and restoration that Christ offered, and if they listened very deeply, I imagine that they would see in Jesus that John was already free, that the same mind and purpose of John was being fully accomplished and carried out in Christ, that this is the one who fulfilled all that John was pointing to. And in Christ, John and all who would follow Christ know a freedom that the world could never take away. This is the same unity Christ points to for the disciples who follow him from their boats today. These disciples who may well have been in competition with each other before as fishermen on the same shore, who may have vied to get the better catch for the day or to find the better spot. Here, now, they are called together, drawn out of all other relationships, all other commitments, to say Christ alone is who we shall follow. And in Christ, they now know a unity that they did not know before. Yes, they still won't have a perfect understanding of this, and they will need Jesus to consistently call to them and to communicate with them throughout their lives to better understand the unity Christ has brought about for them and for this world, just as we do. Just as we need Jesus to consistently call us, to communicate with us, that we may better understand the unfolding of this kingdom of God and see the unity God has brought about for us through Christ. We get a glimpse of this today in this meal that we share together. That we, even though we are not present together physically, are still united through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is still at work shining the light of God into our midst. We still see and hear that light in different and unique ways, but are called to the same mind and the same purpose to celebrate and share the love of Christ together. And we receive the strength and nourishment from Christ today to do just bread and wine, we encounter the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we know the unity that Christ has made for us that draws us ever more deeply into the love of God and unites us to this body of Christ across time and space. And as we experience this goodness of the Lord, as we experience the unity Christ offers to us, we will have our joy increased. Our exaltation will multiply till we cannot help ourselves but cry out, Alleluia! Thanks be to God. Amen.